This is an interview with Thomas E. Carney for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department. Today's interview is located in Warren, Ohio on April 26, 1977 at 4 p.m. The topic discussed will be on the history of the Democratic Party of Trumbull County. The first question I'd like to ask you, Mr. Carney, is to give a description of your family and political background and relate what or whom or who has motivated you to proceed in the field of politics.
Well, as far as my family background goes, that is probably the motivation for my involvement in politics. My cousin, second cousin as a matter of fact, is the United States Representative from the 19th Congressional District, Charles J. Carney. But besides him, my father, George Carney, was a city councilman in the city of Girard for approximately 11 years. He was also involved in the Democratic Central Committee for Trumbull County. Two other cousins, John and Edward, both of Girard, were also involved in Girard politics, and Edward served as the first vice president of the Democratic Central Committee for about 2 years. So our family has been highly involved in politics. It's always been an endeavor which has been looked upon with, I guess, some prestige. And it's also seen, at least in our family, as a way of becoming involved in public service. I'm sure today, not a great number of citizens really look upon political involvement as public service. And that's probably a mistake, and it's probably something that causes a loss to our political system, in that a great number of people who would have much to offer in the governing of our local municipalities, the state government, and national government, never become involved.
And could you give a summary of your years in service?
Okay. I've been involved in politics actively probably only for about 4 years. My activity sort of is in a balance with other things that were going on in my life. When I was still in high school, I worked with my father on his campaigns, which was limited to mostly poll work and passing material door to door, which is common practice in this area. I became involved in the McCarthy campaign in 1968. Again, not on a decision-making level or anything of that nature, more along the lines of writing letters, preparing pamphlet literature, and actually passing the pamphlet literature out. I was involved in 1972 with the McGovern campaign, and to some degree with the local candidates in Lucas County. I was going to law school at the time. So my involvement really wasn't too extensive, having to spend a great deal of time with the with my studies. Then this past year, 1976, in the spring, in the primaries, I was involved in a campaign for Thomas Norton for domestic judge in Trumbull County, and we were unsuccessful. My endeavors, you might notice, have not always been marked by a great deal of success, especially with McCarthy and McGovern. However, in the fall, I became involved in the Carter campaign, and that was probably my most extensive involvement as far as operating on more than just a clerical position. I became involved in the decision-making work that was done by the Trumbull County Committee to elect Carter. And I found it quite interesting. Also, I was able to meet people that you see on the news and you never really get to know. So I enjoyed it. Personally, I also campaigned or ran for Girard City Solicitor back in 1975. And holding true to my form, I was unsuccessful. But I think as the years progress, my involvement will become more and more. I'm presently also serving as a precinct committeeman from the precinct in which I live, and that offers me an opportunity to become involved in the decision-making of the Democratic Central Committee of Trumbull County.
Being a student of the late 60s, what was the politics of the American youth, and how does it differ today?
That's a tough question. I'm sure that if you read any of the newspapers or read any articles that have been prepared about that period of time, namely from about 1964, with some of the political action in Wisconsin, Berkeley, and New York, up through 1974, really. I think the era would be labeled as, you know, activism. And I'm not sure exactly that that was true. I know in 1970, with the troubles we had at Kent, I was attending Youngstown State at the time, and I don't think that we could actually classify Youngstown State as a period of activism, or an area in which activism was really present. There were, of course, a goodly number of students who were involved in the anti-war movement and were rather vocal, especially around May of 1970 when the Kent State incident occurred. I think that as time passes and we're able to look back on the 60s, the late 60s, I don't think we're going to acclaim it to be as an activist era as it has been. I think we'll have a little bit more of a perspective, and we will see that indeed there were a lot of movements, a lot of people involved. There were demonstrations of great, you know, great magnitude, but definitely not a revolutionary era. And today, I think, because of what that era was, the era produced activists of some sort. We'll leave that open to definition. And because of the work of these people, right now I'm specifically thinking of, I believe the young man is mayor of Madison, Wisconsin. I may be wrong, but I think that's it. He was very much involved in the anti-war movement in the late 60s. In fact, I believe he was even involved with the Weathermen. And he was ultimately, I think, in the very early 70s, elected mayor of Madison, Wisconsin. And I think he's a good example of what's happened. The activists have gone into government service, into politics, so that now they are involved. And as for the youth today, you know, where are they going? Are they as active? They're definitely, I don't think, as active as the students in the late 60s. I don't know whether they have reason to be as active. The war has ended. We're not involved in any military conflicts. in a way, government and politics has been, or government work has been legitimized. I think the younger people now do see it. They see the functioning part of government as legitimate. There's nothing wrong with it. Your clerks, people of this nature. And the second reason I don't think you'll see the activism, political activism, is because of how the young people today see the upper echelons of government, your senators, your representatives, governors. We've fallen into an era which doesn't really help the image of a politician. Right now, you know, without considering Watergate, which definitely was a blow to the politicians, to the image of a politician, but you know, that's not an isolated incident. Maybe that's what makes Watergate so bad. Presently, we're involved now in Governor Mandel from Maryland is presently being tried for bribery and extortion. You have several senators that from the Watergate era on to today have faced charges of bribery, extortion too. So that I don't think the students in the 60s saw a position as senator or representative or some kind of political figure like that. They saw them as a figure who could wield power, who could bring about some sort of change that they were seeking. And the student in the 70s, in this era, sees the politician as someone who is operating on a low moral plane, who is only interested in his own welfare, and therefore becoming involved in bribery and extortion. And I'm sure, you know, I don't know whether anyone can do any statistical studies to verify the fact, but personally, in my own mind, I'm sure that not only Watergate, you know, I think a mistake is made when people say, well, young people are against politicians because of Watergate. I think Watergate is the pinnacle. But again, you know, Gurney from Florida, Governor Mandel, our own problems here in Ohio with certain congressmen has lowered the level of the image of the politician. And more seriously than that, I think what has happened to these men has projected an image which is entirely different than what students saw in 1966. You know, there isn't that force for change. It's just become sort of a degenerate moneylender.
Can you give an analysis of your political philosophies and creeds and how you apply them?
Well, questions like this are tough because as far as political ideologies, and personal political ideologies and philosophy, I don't think someone, at least on my level, maybe a senator or a congressman, would get down to actually considering, you know, what do I think? And then besides not making the consideration, the other difficulty in the question, I think, is, you know, what are we talking about? Talking about foreign trade? Are we talking about the role of the politician? There's so many different facets. Generally, though, I don't want to dodge the question. I would classify myself as an activist. Because of that, I would involve myself in, take, for example, the campaign we just finished last fall. I was interested in recruiting as great a number of people as possible, and I was interested in those volunteers being a cross-section of the community. I see politics, if it's to function on the level that it should, okay, if it is to function on the level it should, it has to involve everyone. And therefore, you know, one of the most intimate political things that you can be involved in is a campaign. You're working, if you're involved in it, you're actually working very closely with people. You get to know their dislikes and their likes, and they get to know yours. And it becomes, I think, something that can foster a very progressive government, a very alert government, if the people are involved in campaigns, if they are involved in the election process, then the people they elect in turn are going to be are going to have an open ear to them, because they're going to realize, and I know it's been said a million times before, you know, you do have that recourse at the ballot box. So I think my basic belief is that politics ought to be an activist thing. It ought to be something that everybody's involved in. And going off from that, I think I could say that I'm also very interested in young people being involved in the party. In this county, I think we have a problem. We have a very strong party. I mean, that's obvious from the offices we hold. We control the county government, and we control, with the exception of Warren, we control all the mayors in the county, and a substantial number of councilmen and so forth. However, if you take a look at the men who are in these positions now, if you take a look at the party chairman, not to take anything away from them, they've done an excellent job. But my point is, you know, they are older men, they're not going to be around forever. And unfortunately, right now, we don't have a number of young people involved. There seems to be that element. I think it's a very important element that's missing. So one of the things that I've been involved in the past 2 years, and probably more specifically within the past year, is involving young people in the party, and hopefully within the next year or so, we'll actually see some of these people getting involved in political races. At least as committeemen, and hopefully possibly as councilmen or something of that nature. So I think, without getting too elaborate, those are my beliefs in politics right now in regards to this party.
When do you think the Trumbull County Democratic Party was at its peak of existence?
I think they're at the peak of their existence right now. After last year's election, I don't think there can be any doubt that Trumbull County Democratic Party is functioning at a higher level than they've ever done before. The reason I say this is, first of all, in county government, it's true we only have one seat on the board of county commissioners, and there's three seats. We only have one. At one time, we had all three, but we only have one there. But then we control every other elected office in the county, with the exception of the engineer and, I believe, the coroner, too. But, excuse me, those aren't very political jobs. Furthermore, for the first time, and Lord knows how long. In fact, I've talked to some of the older people who indicated to me it's the first time ever we control every seat in the Court of Common Pleas. There's a Democrat in every courtroom in the county courthouse, which is unheard of. This has never been before. And the other reason I think that we're functioning now at a level that we've never functioned at before is the voter turnout in the election last year. And I'm sure a lot of people say, well, it was a large turnout throughout the country, and that's true. But if you check statistically, I believe, I was told in Washington that this county is fourth in the country. The 19th Congressional District, really, which this county is a part of, was fourth in the country in voter turnout. I mean, we were right up there. And I think this has to be owed to the fact, first of all, that the people who were involved in the Carter campaign were highly motivated. They did a heck of a job. They worked very hard. They worked very long hours.
Who were some of these individuals?
Well, yourself, Mark. You sit there smiling. Frank Kratko, I'm thinking the name, I can't even think of the names now, but it's just the idea they weren't politicos. A lot of them were carryovers from the McGovern campaign, which I liked seeing. But there were a lot of people actually involved, common people that were involved, you know, Democrats that were involved. And the other thing is, for the first time in a long time, the local Democratic candidates were not fighting among themselves at the general election. Trumbull County has a history of being a very tough county when it comes to running for election. We fight constantly in this county, and for the first time in, the older politicians have told me for the first time ever, we were able to put together a ticket that was able to work together, that was able to coordinate with the national ticket, and as a result, we were able to turn out just a fantastic number of voters, and we were able to take some seats in the Court of Common Pleas that we've never had before. So, without a doubt, I think right now, the Trumbull County Democratic Party is functioning at a higher level than ever before.
Having accounted for the highest points of the Democratic Party, could you speculate upon its lowest ebb?
Lowest ebb? I don't know if I can. Like I said, we have had problems before in in-house fighting. I can't say that it's all bad because, I think we've had some excellent people in government in Trumbull County, and I'm sure that part of this is the responsibility of the fact that when you run for office in Trumbull County, you're going to have to account for what you've done and what you want to do and how you carry on. As for giving a specific time, though, I don't think I could.
Now speaking on the internal structure of the party itself, what is the significance of the precinct committee and the executive committee in Trumbull County?
I'm sure that the importance of precinct committeemen, the importance of the executive committee members, all depends upon one's point of view. In the past, I don't think that precinct committeemen has really accounted for much, other than, being a vote in that instance where a vacancy would occur in an elected office and it was necessary to for the central committee to meet and to select someone to fill that vacancy. That was about the extent of the importance of and the involvement of precinct committeemen. And again, I have to go back to this September, where I think we saw the beginnings of some active involvement on behalf of the committeemen. I think that a lot of them are actually coming to see themselves as representatives. As how they should see themselves. They're representatives of a sp- specific geographical area. They represent the Democrats between A Street and C Street. And they are important to make the party function. The party is not going to be able to elect a Democratic county commissioner or elect a Democratic treasurer unless the Democratic precinct committeeman in each precinct is willing to go out and say to his friends, hey, we have a candidate here that's qualified, that's willing to do the work, and has some experience, some credentials. You know, it has to go down that local level. I think the idea that we have to go back to the grassroots is now clear in reference to the Carter campaign. If you want to win an election, you've got to go back. How do you go back? You have to go through precinct committee, members of the central committee. The executive committee probably is I'm sure there's going to be people that will disagree with me, but in my estimation, the executive committee is the least functioning unit of the Democratic Party. Supposedly, these are the people picked and elected from among the central committeemen to actually be the leaders of the party. Unfortunately, because of previous lack of interest and custom, the use of the executive committee has pretty much died. And I, for one, would like to see it rejuvenated. I'd like to see some people put on it that are actively involved in the party and sincerely interested in the party and in politics. You know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of fun, but you have to have the interest, and unfortunately right now I don't think we have the interest in it in the members of those of that board.
If you were ordained head of the Democratic Party of Trumbull County at this point, what type of platform would you run and what changes would you like to see come about?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't think we've quite gotten to the point where we're establishing a platform for the county. Maybe it's a good idea. Personally, I would like to see the Democrats present. Well, if I was party chairman at this time, and we were going to be involved in a county election, what I would like to see candidates present, what I would like to see the party present to the voters, is a platform which would involve a great deal of activism, mainly telling the voters that, you know, there is ways, new ways for government to run. Specifically, I'm thinking of the possibility of federal funds for different reasons. You have the LEAA, the Law Enforcement Assistance Administration. Great deal of money available through them. We have to go after it. I think the prosecuting attorney's office, the sheriff's office, presently are involved in programs like this. But I think there's more money. There's the HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Of course, the county gets the federal revenue sharing money. But I would like to point out to the people, to the electorates, that this money is available, that our party is committed to bringing this federal money into this county. On some recent trips to Washington, I had the opportunity to speak to some administrators in the Environmental Protection Agency, some administrators in the Economic Development Agency of the Department of Commerce, and all these people seem to ask the same question, and that is, why doesn't Ohio apply for this money? Why doesn't Ohio look for federal money? Why doesn't Ohio want federal money? The state of Ohio, and Trumbull County being a part of that state, hasn't been in the forefront in seeking this money. And I think it's about time we do. We got to the point now where I think our industry, our commerce depends on it. We can't absorb enough from our local taxes to support them. We're going to have to go elsewhere. Besides pursuing this federal money, I would also like to see the party come out with a stance that it's now necessary to bring about some kind of order in the county as far as the relationship between the townships, the zoning regulations the townships have set up. I'm not sure what exactly a county officer could do. Possibly the county commissioners, under the new provisions for county zoning, could work on bringing some uniformity in the county. I think that's important. We seem to have lost direction as far as industrialization of the county, building in the county. We just seem to be, you know, wandering here and there. So I think there is a need for a policy, a plank, if you would, in favor of uniformity of development, which would involve zoning considerations, possibly some sort of innovative programs to get industry to come in and look at us. We've done considerable work, I think, in the fields of sanitary sewers and water, but I think now it's just a matter of getting out to industry and telling them, hey, you know, we have put together things. We've got stuff on the drawing boards that's on its way. It's going to be okayed by the federal government. We're going to have money, and there's going to be a lot of open space in Trumbull County that's going to be available for industry. It's going to be available for homes, you know. The northern part of the county is not highly populated. We have room there. And again, I think this idea of industrialization, the idea of orderly development, and the idea of federal funds are all interwoven. We're looking towards a better county. In fact, you know, possibly that would be the theme. You know, the Democratic Central Committee looking for a better county.
What future do you see for the Democratic Party, Trumbull County, and the National Democratic Party as a whole?
Well, in the county, we're obviously in a very good position now. Like I said earlier, in reference to positions that we hold, we hold them all. With the exception of the two seats on the county commissioners, the Board of County Commissioners. So I think we finally arrived at a point where the Democratic Party has offered to the electorate good candidates who are capable, they're experienced, and they've got an idea of what they want to do, and they're willing to go out and do it. I think it's necessary now for the party to bring some young people in and get them involved, maybe run a couple of them for office. I think we're strong in Trumbull County, there's no doubt about it. As long as the Democratic Party in the cities remains as strong as it is, and it is quite strong, the only city really where there's any Republican opposition is Warren. Liberty, or Gerard, Hubbard, Niles. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure about Hubbard, but Niles and Gerard, the councils are controlled entirely. In fact, to the man, they're Democratic. So we're in a very good position now. I think we have to get young people involved. I think we have to start respecting each other a little bit more. Start drawing up, becoming more organized. Maybe that's, you know, that's the key words. We have to put a little more organization into our party. If we do that, I don't see any way that the Republican Party in Trumbull County is going to offer any real opposition. Because obviously we are in power, we can show the people what we're willing to do, what we can do. As long as we keep doing that, as long as we bring new people, new blood into the party, and we build up our organization, because that's probably where we're lacking the most. We don't have an organization. We come alive 2 times a year, in mid-April to first week in June, and then suddenly we die as a party again, and then we come alive the end of September, middle of September, and we go like crazy till the first week of November, and we die again. So we've got, you know, two rather lengthy periods of time in which the party really isn't functioning. We're not visible at all. So I think we've got to become more visible. We've got to become organized. But I think we're in a very good position to do that now, because we are. We're dealing from a position of strength. The National Party suffers from probably the same maladies as we do on the county level, only amplified to the level of national politics. Again, they function for 1 year. In fact, they just died. You know, the National Party just died in November. Well, this year we probably continue. There's probably some activity on the national level up through the inaugural. Now it's become very quiet, and will be so until the next presidential election. I'm not sure how you would go about remedying that to bring them alive. But maybe, I don't know this for a fact, but just running thoughts through my mind now, maybe the more active Trumbull County becomes, the more active Mahoning County becomes, the more active the city of Boston, the Democrats in the city of Boston become, you know, aren't we making the National Party more active? As you're aware, the National Party has had we've had some very bad times. In 1968, the convention was almost a shambles with the riots in Chicago. And there were some people actually questioning whether or not we had had, you know, did the Democrats really have a national convention, or was it just a farce? In 1972, it didn't help. I think we made a real attempt, the National Party made a real attempt, to bring some of the groups who had previously been rejected by the party, attempted to bring them in, the young people, the blacks, and as a result, we had substantial problems in seating delegations in 1972. And it culminated in Mayor Daley walking out with the Illinois delegation, and an alternate delegation had to be set. And that later caused significant problems in the campaign, because Mr. McGovern was unable to gain the cooperation of Mayor Daley. But then we have to look back to just the last convention. I had the feeling, watching the convention on the television and reading some of the material that was being printed at the time, that possibly we had solved that problem. We had brought into balance the representation of women within the National Party, the representation of blacks within the National Party. the Hispanics, I think, became very active in the last campaign, at least as far as Governor Brown was concerned. A considerable number of the people he brought to Maryland to run in the Maryland primary were Hispanics. So I think the Democratic Party on a national level is moving towards a more solid position. We've recognized our deficiencies. I think we recognized them in 72 when we were setting up the rules for delegates and delegations. We realized that we weren't including blacks, we weren't including women, that there was a disproportionate number of white males present. And we made an attempt. Okay, it didn't work. Maybe it was wrong. Maybe we went about it too hard-handed, and it resulted in some problems. But I think we learned from it, and we solved those problems in 76. Now, in 3 more years, we're gonna be back again. And I think because of the way we've set up our delegations and because we've brought these people in here, we don't have to worry about a closed convention. I think the idea of a closed convention is the final point I want to make. I think this is why the Democratic Party is nationally in a better position than the Republicans. I think if you review some of the newspaper articles and magazine articles that came out right after the election and the statements that were made by Mr. Brock in relation to the Republican Party, I think the Republicans right now are where we were at between 1968 and 1972. Right now, the Republicans are saying, we don't have any blacks in our party. We don't have any poor people in our party. We don't have any Hispanics in our party. I think they're coming to the conclusion, we had a closed convention, you know. We have a closed party. And now they're going to have to begin. And I think they're going to find themselves with a lot of conflict, but they're going to have to begin bringing in women, bringing in blacks, and they obviously have. You know, the National Party has begun the National Republican Party has begun almost a recruiting system program to get these people in an attempt to expand their party. And I think that the Democrats, obviously, we're ahead of them. We're 6 years down the road on that problem, and I think it's a very important problem. So I see very good times for the Democratic Party nationally and on a county level.
The next question will be about President Carter. Why is Mr. Carter up to this point received a good press? And what point of view, or what exactly do you think he's trying to do?
I think Mr. Carter has a very novel approach to the presidency. He sees himself, in my estimation, as being accountable only to the people. And that's why I think whenever he's preparing a program, I think the instance of the energy program that was just presented last week, even prior to presenting it to the Congress, he went to the people. He said to them, this is my program. You are the people who elected me, and this is what I am proposing that we all do. Obviously, this break with tradition is causing Mr. Carter quite a few problems. Mr. O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, Mr. Byrd, the Majority Leader in the Senate, have not always been happy with this approach. One newspaper article quoted Senator Jackson as saying there was nothing that, I'm paraphrasing it, but in effect he said there's nothing that the House or the Senate can do. Okay. They find themselves somewhat in a corner because President Carter is willing to go to the people and give them the programs. So that I think people now are going to become more aware of what our national policy is. I think national policy to people has always been, you know, a question that, or something they never knew anything about, because we never really have attempted to formulate open national policies. And I think because of the Carter method of going to the people, presenting them with possibly not all the points, you know, he doesn't break it down point by point. Obviously, a good number of our people wouldn't understand it even if he did. I'm not sure that I would understand everything as far as the atomic energy program goes. But I think we are, as a people, I think we're become more informed as to what our foreign policy is, as to what our national energy policy is, from what has been going on in Washington right now. I would expect that with this summer sometime, Mr. Carter is going to have to formulate a policy on imports. That's a big question right now. So, I'm not sure if I've answered your question, but I think that's it. You know, Mr. Carter has brought something to this country and to the presidency, which I don't think anyone's ever seen before.
As for representation of the people, do you think that President Carter is carrying out his foreign policy to the highest ebb?
I'm not sure. Well, obviously, in answering all these questions, possibly I should place a caveat on it. We're only just a couple months into his presidency. The inaugural was the 20th of January, so we've got 3 months. We're 3 months into his presidency, and the only really significant point as far as foreign policy is concerned that has occurred has been the SALT talks. There's been some discussion among the experts as to whether Mr. Carter's position was the correct one. There's been some discussions that possibly he isn't doing what is right for the country. Possibly he's too hard, they say. He isn't willing to deal with the Russians. And other people say, well, the Russians aren't willing to deal with him because they really don't know what to expect yet. And he has, I think, thrown some surprises at them. But again, his policy has been what I think the average American wanted to see. He's been willing to talk about SALT. He's been willing to send representatives to the SALT, but at the same time, he's also carrying on his campaign for human rights. And this has always been a point that has aggravated a portion of the American citizenry, how we could support countries that violate human rights. And I think Mr. Carter appears to be dedicating himself to the principle that the United States will become a crusader for human rights. I'm not sure how far he's willing to go in that crusade. I think we have to wait and see.